Good morning. Good to see you. I want to thank whoever it was that initiated inviting me here. It's always an honor to come back to First Church and be a part of the experience here, and especially to stand in the pulpit where Brother Nathan stands week after week, one of the greatest preachers of our day, and boy, just a real honor to be here and be a part of this service with you. I want to thank also your leadership for dismissing for tonight at the Horse Creek, the Reformation Renewal Rally. I hope you can make it to that service. And if you're there tonight, you may get a glimpse of why I got the nickname the Hammer. But I'm going to preach a sermon tonight on eternal truth from an eternal God. And not because I preach it, but because of the content in it, I feel everybody needs to hear it. So I'd like for you to be there. And then the rest of the week, I'm going to be preaching on the church. So thank you so much for dismissing tonight. And I would imagine your pastor dismissed tonight for you to go there. Don't you think so?
Amen.
Okay. I expect to see at least 10 of you there tonight. It's hard to stand up here without doing a lot of reminiscing, and I ask the Lord to help me not to do that because you didn't come to hear me do that today. But it is great to see many of you that I pastored when I was here. Some of you were born when I pastored here. Some of you were not even yet born when I pastored here. Some of you got saved when we pastored here, and then some of you are new to the congregation since then, and you're saying, who in the world is this old bald-headed guy standing up here talking about being a former pastor? But anyway, thank you so much. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Now, I have my stopwatch set on my cell phone, but that doesn't mean a thing, okay? It doesn't tell me when to stop. It only tells me how long I've preached when I get finished. So when I lay that down there, don't get any real hope, okay? Somebody asked me in the at the first of the service what the title of my sermon was, and I said, tomorrow. And he said, no, we need it today. I said, no, that's the title of the sermon, tomorrow. And it kind of reminded me of that old Abbott and Costello routine, you know, about the baseball game. But anyway, the title of the sermon today is Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, would you stand for the reading of God's word? Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the awesome privilege of being in this place today. Thank you for the singing and the prayers and the testimonies and all the things that have happened up to this point. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit and His presence in this place, because it wouldn't be church without you, Holy Spirit. So would you continue to do your work here in the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's a stretch of road that leads to where my parents used to live. Both of them are dead now. But a number of years ago, I had a day off, and it was a beautiful spring day, and I thought, I think I'll just drive and see my parents today and spend some time with them. Both of them were still living. So I took off and drove to where they lived. But on the way there, I came to a certain stretch of highway. And on this stretch of highway, there's a long descending hill. And at the end of that hill, there is a fairly sharp curve. And it's a four-lane road, so there was a median in between. And as I was going down through there, just before I got to that curve, I noticed things strewn along the highway. My first thought was somebody's thrown out their garbage. And man, that just really irks me when people do that. I want to go to them and say, citizens arrest, citizens arrest. But, and some of you watched Andy Griffith, I'm sure. But that was not a very good imitation of Barney. But anyway, but as I got closer to that curve and started looking more closely, I noticed that it wasn't really trash. It was articles of clothing. And then I saw suitcases. And then I saw toys. And then I came upon this terrible, terrible crash. I didn't know immediately what had happened, other than there'd been a terrible crash. The emergency people were getting there just as I got there, and there was a number of people stopped, and I realized that if I stopped, I'd just be in the way, so I made my way on through. The wreckage was off to the side of the road, but I made one terrible, terrible mistake. A mistake I wish I had never, ever done. I wish I had kept my eyes straight ahead, but instead, I looked to the left and saw the carnage of that wreck. I'm not even going to try to describe it to you because I don't want you to have the nightmares that I've had. Many, many times I've thought back on that terrible, terrible, terrible scene. I drove on to my parents' house, and that evening they had the news on. And they had this wreck on the news. And I found out that it was a young family from Pennsylvania, and they were going on vacation in their minivan. There was a husband and wife and three children. And somehow, some way, and nobody knows how, the man lost control of the vehicle. But it rolled numerous times. All the windows were blown out. People were thrown out, and all five individuals went to eternity. As I drove past that wreck, this verse came to my mind for some reason. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. I thought, you know, there's this family, they probably planned for months for this vacation, and we've been there, haven't we? You know, my wife and I wore out five or six minivans and driving them here and there and so forth, and many times our kids would be in the back asleep, and I'd be in the back asleep, and Debbie'd be driving. Many times we did the same thing. We'd get up early in the morning and take off, you know. All excited. I can imagine in their minivan they were so excited. And make him stay on his side. But somehow, some way, it all tragically ended that spring morning on that Kentucky highway. The alarm clock goes off in the morning, and we think it's going to be just like any other day. Some of us hit the snooze button, and some of us just jump right out of bed. I'm one of those who just jumps right out of bed. When the alarm goes off, the first thing the covers go back, I'm up on the edge of the bed, I say a little prayer, I start my day. Now I'm to the point by noon I'm done, but anyway, I start out great. My wife, she wishes there was about 10 snooze buttons on the phone. I mean, you know, she just doesn't get up well. But the alarm clock goes off, and we think it's just going to be like any other day. But some days it isn't, is it? Some days there are things happen that we just never even imagined. We have a little pain that we don't think anything about it. And later on, the doctor looks across at us and tells us that this little pain, bad news. We get in the car like any other time. We start down the road thinking we're going to get to our destination. Wow. Now, my being who I am, not only did I think about this verse of Scripture, you just don't know what a day is going to bring forth. You see, one of the problems that I see in the world, in America, and even in the church, and that's where it really gets serious, we've lost sight of eternity. We've lost sight of the fact that, folks, we're not going to be here forever, and really and truly, compared to eternity, we're not going to be here very long. And we have almost gotten to the place that we live on this earth like we're going to live here forever. And we get so attached and so concerned, and people fight over the stupidest things. Folks, are you aware that you are not a body with a soul, but you are a soul with a body? This body is going to pass away. So if you don't believe it, look in the mirror. Jerry Hartzell was bragging about his hair. Ha! If I had known this, I'd have done this years ago. Man, I can wash my hair with a wash rag. You know, I used to use shampoo, now I use Wax and Glow. You know. I mean, we're not going to be here forever, folks. But there is a part of us that's going to be somewhere forever. The real me. What you see is just this body I carry around. But the real me is in here. And folks, that part of me is going to live forever somewhere. One day, sometime before March the 12th, 1952, that's my birthday onto this earth, but somewhere before there, I began. My parents decided to name me Charles Edward Heater Jr. But are you aware that there will never, ever, 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 ever be a time that there will not be me somewhere? The problem is, where? You see, when I drove past that wreck, that's the question I began to ask myself, not only about these people and wondering about eternity, but again to wonder, I wonder if they were saved. Now the children, if they were young enough, we know they didn't have to worry about it, but the adults in that thing, I wonder if they were saved. I wonder if they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I wonder as they sped out into eternity, where they spend eternity. Me being a pastor and a Christian, I thought of James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Now listen. Do you hear that? Now listen. You who say today or tomorrow we will do this or that, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Ooh. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Now, we who live in the mountains know what a mist is, don't we? I mean, I like to get up early in the morning and go out and watch the mist dissipate in the mountains. There's just something about that that just, I don't know. But it always reminds me of this passage of Scripture. We're just a mist. We're here for a little while and we're gone. We're all dreamers. We dream of various things we'd like to do. We plan for the future. We think about what we're going to do tomorrow. And there's nothing wrong with that. In James, we get the picture of a man sitting at a desk making plans. You see, this man is a Jew, and at this particular time in history, they were developing city-states and opening up new places and so forth. And whenever they would do that, they would always invite some of the Jewish businessmen to come and be a part of that because they had a knack of making business and making money and all of that. So they would invite them there to start a business. So this man probably had various opportunities to move and go someplace and make money. Oh, that's it anyway, isn't it? I mean, that's what life's all about. Gaining things. 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 Do you know everything you can see with your natural eye is going to be gone someday? Did you know that? Even our bodies. Even when you look in the mirror. I mean, when you go get in your car, that's going to be gone someday. Everything, the house you live in, is going to be gone someday. The money in the bank is already gone. Oh, well. Going to be gone someday anyway. You see, there's one problem with the picture here as we look at this picture in James, and that's what he's trying to see. As this man sits at this desk, dreams about where he's going to go, says, I can go here or there and I can make money. Do you notice there's never any mention of Christ? There's never any mention of prayer. There's never any mention of doing God's will. And that's what James is trying to get at, because later on in the passage he says, we ought to pray and ask, is it God's will? That job that causes us to make more money may not be God's will. It could be. I'm not saying it isn't. But instead of saying, oh, I'm going to make more money, it must be God's will, we ought to say, wait a minute, I need to pray about this. Oh, this is going to be great. I mean, I'm going to get a promotion and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I pastored a family in West Virginia before I came to this area. They got saved while I was there. Great story. He was a Methodist background. She was Catholic background. After they got married, they decided they'd compromise and not go to church at all. And for a number of years, they hadn't gone to church. They had two children. They were in marital problems, a disaster. And they called my wife and I and said, I hear you do marriage counseling. And we said, well, you know, we try to help people in the church and pray for them. I don't know if you'd call it marriage counseling, but we'd be glad to sit and talk with you. And we talked with them. About the second, third time we talked with them, I approached them about being Christian, and he said, oh, yes, that I know that I want to be a Christian, and I'm telling you what's the truth. I led him through the Roman road and the sinner's prayer, and he was gloriously saved. He was bouncing off the walls. He was shouting. He was so excited. And I looked at her, and I said, would you like to be a Christian? She said, yes, and I went through the Roman road with her, and she prayed the sinner's prayer, and nothing. I mean, she sat there stone-faced. She didn't even smile. I looked at her and I said, and I started through the Roman road again. She said, I answered that once. And I just asked her something else. She said, I already answered that. I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? She said, yes, I prayed, didn't I? I mean, she was just that blunt. I pastored them for another probably 8 years, and they were that way all the time. He was bouncing off the walls, and she was just stone-faced. But boy, if you wanted anything done, you ask her. She'd get it done. She might make three or four people mad, but she'd get it done. And one day he came to my office and he said, Pastor, I've been all, he was a principal of the school. He said, I've been offered another job in another state. He said, we're going to go this weekend and look at it. He said, they've offered us an amazing package. He said, I'm going to get a vehicle to drive. He said, he just went on and on and on and on about what he was going to get by going here and taking this position. And I thought, man, here goes a great family from our church. We're going to lose them. He came back and he came into my office and he said, Pastor, we're not going to take that. He said, I was offered the position. I could start there in a month. He said, we're not going to take it. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, we drove all over the area and we prayed all the time. And we asked people and we talked to people and we said, where is a good church we could take our children? He said, we couldn't find one. He said, we could not find in that area a good Bible-believing church where we could get involved and get our children involved. And he said, it's not worth it. We're going to stay where we are. I'm telling you, you just don't see many people make that kind of decision, but I'm glad that they did. You see, the problem here, Christ was left out. Christ was left out of the picture. Maybe he asked many friends, counselors. However, the greatest consultant was left out. And James says, well, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? Your mist that appears and vanishes. I want you to find a quiet place later on. And I want you to think about these two short statements. You do not even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Did you know that? The second statement is, you're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's amazing what we can do today, isn't it? You know, I have this cell phone laying here, and I understand that there's more computer power in this cell phone than there was in the computers that sent the first people to the moon. It's amazing. I've tried to point this at a few people and send them to the moon, but it didn't work. But I still believe that. I mean, it's amazing what you can do. I love it. I love Google. I mean, you know, man, I'm so smart now. Ooh. My grandkids ask me questions. I say, oh, hold on a minute. You know, I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, there's so many things today. I mean, we can do things that we never even dreamed about before. But when it comes to tomorrow, our knowledge plunges to zero. Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Whoever you are, you may have a PhD. You may be a genius at Bible exposition. Your IQ may be off the chart. You could be marvelously gifted and totally capable in a number of fields, but I guarantee you, you cannot tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. Sociologists can project, program, predict, deduct, deduce, even compute diagrams about the future. Yet they're only still guessing. Sometimes they remind me of the weather prognosticators. You know, that's a great job, weather person is. Did you know that? I mean, if you're right 30% of the time, you know, it's great. You can keep your job, you know. You can do just as well going back to the farmer's almanac or the woolly worm, you know. In algebraic terms, tomorrow remains factor X, a mystery. It cannot be explained.
It defines all attempts to be exposed. It lies hidden in the depths of God's unfathomable, intricately woven plan.
But there's one thing that remains consistent. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. We need somebody that can get us out of this life alive.
We need somebody that can move into our lives and guide us through tomorrow.
You know, the great thing about Him is He's already been there.
I don't understand that. But He's been in the past, He's in today, and He's going to be in the future because He's already there.
You know one of the great things about that? I can pray into the future. I can pray for my grandkids into the future. I can pray for my great-grandkids. I've never met them.
I can pray for their spouses.
Lord, help some of them.
I mean, I could pray. You know, there are prayers that are helping me right now that were prayed years ago, and the people are dead who prayed them. But they're still with me because they prayed for me. I can still remember my mom praying for me. I can still remember a little lady in my home church, Katie Pilot, who led me to the Lord and prayed for me all through my life. And every once in a while, I'd get a note from her saying, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you."
I preached her funeral probably 10 years ago, but her prayers are lingering on. You see, we need a Savior. Men and women, boys and girls need the transformation power of the Lord Jesus Christ to do something in our lives that we can't do for ourselves.
Not only will He allow us to go to heaven, but He can guide us through this life. I mean, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, just think about it for a moment. Somebody who already knows where the dangers are.
My son and I, Aaron, we used to hunt. When he was a younger teenager, he liked to hunt, and I'd try to go with him. And I remember one time we left early in the morning. It was before daylight, and we'd been to this place before, but we had to go up this path, and there was a lot of rocks and roots and all this stuff in it. Well, I wanted to take a flashlight. And he said, "You're going to scare everything in the woods with that flashlight." I said, "Well, I can't see without it." He said, "Well, I can see fine." His eyes were younger, I guess. And he said, "If you'll just hold on to my coattail, I'll take you through." And I did. And I held on to his coattail, and he'd whisper a rock or a root or a stump. And I stumbled along behind him, holding onto his coattail, and never fell once, because he could see the way. Man, I've thought of that so often, and I think that's just like Jesus.
I don't have to see where I'm going. All I have to do is hold on to Him. And He can take me even through tomorrow. Glory to God.
Somebody ought to shout. Look at what happens when Christ is invited into our plans. Instead, you ought to say, "If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil." Wow. The Lord's will is more than a nice-sounding religious phrase, by the way. James summarizes the whole thing when he says, "Anyone who then knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins." I'm going to close, but I want to close with a personal question. You don't have to answer it out loud, just answer it in your heart. And I've asked it of myself many times. If I'd been the pastor of the church in the area where these people lived, remember the wreck I talked about? And they happened to come to church, would I have preached in such a way and would the service have been in such a way that they would have been compelled to find Jesus Christ as their Savior? Oh, but it's not just up to the preacher. If I had been their neighbor, they were probably good neighbors. They were upstanding citizens. They had a fine vehicle and had money to go on vacation. But would I have invited them to church? Or more than that, would I have told them about Jesus? Or when I heard the news on the radio that my neighbors got killed, would I have said, oh my, I wish I had invited them to church. I wish I had told them about Jesus. Wow. If they'd have been in my Sunday school class last Sunday morning, whether I'm the teacher or not, would they have been loved? Would they have been accepted? Oh, I don't know what color they were, but would they have been accepted? I don't know what their social background was, but would they have been accepted? I still wonder. Did they go to heaven? I know we live in a time when Hollywood tries to tell us that everybody dies goes to heaven. You know, a few years ago, there wasn't a heaven or hell, according to them. You know, everybody died, just died like a dog, and that was the end of it. But now they've come around, you know, we've got this Oprah theology, and everybody's come around, and now there's a heaven, and everybody who dies goes to heaven. Doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter what your religion is, doesn't matter whether you accept Jesus Christ or not, if you died, oh, she's in heaven. Oh, he's in heaven. Folks, may I burst your bubble? Everybody who dies does not go to heaven. Only those people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and living according to His will go to heaven. It's that simple. Doesn't mean we have to be absolutely perfect, but it does have to mean we be as mature and perfect as we possibly can by the power of the Holy Spirit in this life, which we call sanctification. Tomorrow, would I have reached out to those people and love them in to the Lord? You see, that's the way you get people, by loving them in. You see, we get so engrossed in church with so much stuff. Getting this program right and that program right and this note right. And I'm pretty much a perfectionist too. Those of you who know me know that I like things to go well and orderly and all. But folks, there is something more important than that. Would I have reached out? Oh, well, preacher, there's always tomorrow. Come on. We're going to sing. I'm not going to beg and plead. If the Lord has talked to you about anything today that you need to pray about, whether it's your own self, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's a friend, I don't know what God talked to you about today. That's between you and Him. But if God has spoken to you about anything today, we're going to sing, and as we do, these altars are available.